I am an artist living in beautiful Vermont, USA, and I have a lot of questions. So I engage the minds of the people that I meet, poets, writers, artists. I explore what's inside and share it with you. My name is Ricky McEachran, and I am eager to know. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Eager to Know. Today's guest is sound engineer and musician Evan Parks. Evan, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, how you doing?
I am doing really well. I'm very excited to have you here. We met at a Main Street Arts event, which was a open mic situation, and you were arrived early to set up all the sound stuff.
Yep.
And I was peppering you with questions about what you were doing.
Yep.
And you seemed like a really interesting guy, and I thought, I need to have him on Eager to Know and ask him even more questions.
Glad to be here.
Now, you are a sound engineer, and you have an affinity for live sound as opposed to like recorded sound.
Well, studio work.
As opposed to studio work.
I do like to record live sound.
Okay.
That's actually one of my favorite things to do.
All right. One of your favorite things to do.
Yeah.
Now, when did you discover that was one of your favorite things to do, and
so,
how?
So I had a band in high school. That started with the talent show, of course. And that band didn't go very far. It was mostly just a bunch of us that would hang out in the diner all night drinking coffee and bugging the waitress. And we decided to have a band, and that's where it all started.
And your debut was at a talent show?
At the talent show, yep.
A talent show for high school?
High school talent show, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. And how did that go?
It went as well as you think it would go, you know, for a bunch of kids that didn't really know what they were doing.
Nice.
But we did manage to actually play a whole song from beginning to end,
Which
was a pretty big feat for the very little practice that we had.
Awesome. Now, the experience of performing versus all the practice, was the experience of performing in front of people, was that a...
Super fun. Yeah.
So what was that? Super fun. What was that like? Was it unexpected in any way?
I mean, I'd already been like in chorus,
okay,
right? So I've been in front of people singing before.
Yeah.
But it's a little different when, you know, everybody's concentrating on you instead of just like a whole group.
Right.
Right? So I was the lead singer and I was out there singing.
Lead singer.
Singing my heart out. Yeah. At the time, I was also a DJ for school dances, and that eventually bled into doing weddings and other functions like that.
Okay.
So I was getting used to managing sound systems. And I formed another band, a guitar band, called Infinitives with a couple of friends of mine.
Which you still have.
Which I still have. It's just me and my buddy Jeff Raymond now.
Okay.
And we've transformed ourselves from a guitar band into a synthesizer duo. So it's very different music than what we started playing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. The band's called Infinitives. You can look us up on SoundCloud.
Okay.
And we've even got some music up on the major platforms like Spotify and Apple Music and stuff like that.
All right. Well, I'll put a link in the show notes. And for sure.
It's really weird, like space music, like synthesizer space music.
All right. Yeah. Now, speaking of synthesizers, I know that here in Bellows Falls, where we are right now, there is a place called, I think it's Space 33?
Stage 33 Live.
Stage 33. And I know that you are involved in a synthesizer. What is that? Describe what that is.
So we're calling it Second Saturday Synth Fest, which is a concert and sort of like a show and tell of electronic music. And it's not just synthesizers. It's also like noise machines and, you know, circuit bending and anything you can make noises out of. And it's a fun concept. We have a concert with five performers who each have 20-minute sets. And instead of setting up on the stage as usual, we set up in the round in the middle of the room and encourage people to come early and talk about the gear. Because around here, you can't just walk into a music store and start playing with a synthesizer because there just aren't any stores around here. You have to go 2 hours away to even get your eyeballs onto some of this equipment.
Okay.
But here it's all set up in the middle of the room and the performers are there to answer your questions and tell you what this button does and what that knob does. And you can put the headphones on and listen and hear what it sounds like and stuff.
And this is before the performance?
This is before the performance.
That sounds cool.
Yep. And
that doesn't happen very often if you go to see a musician perform that you actually get to tinker with their stuff beforehand.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And it's, you know, as as a fan of electronic music, that's one of the things I wished I could have done at some concerts that I went to, you know, because I'd be like, how on earth did they make that incredible sound? Right. You know?
Now, if someone is interested in the Synth Fest, where would they go to find out information on it?
So
when it is?
Yep. So you would go to stage33live.com. Just like it sounds. And there you'll find all the information about the whole project. It's an all-volunteer run music venue, essentially. And we take performers as they request. We don't solicit any performers. We just take them as they come and just put them in line. We're booked out till 2025 and beyond. But we haven't got the schedule up for 2025 yet, I don't think. But it'll be up soon if it's not going to be up by the time this airs.
Well, I'm interested in definitely checking that out.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that happens in the same building as Stage 33 is the Wool Radio station.
Yep, WOOL 91.5 on the dial.
All right.
Community radio, that's also a volunteer project. Everybody there is a volunteer, including me. It's run by a board of directors, and it's funded by memberships, donations, and underwriting completely. So please tune in to 91.5 WOOL. I have a show on Friday afternoons at 5 o'clock called It's Flocking Friday. And I play, I try to get live musicians in there whenever I can, but when I can't do that, I play my heavy rotation playlist because I'm kind of a music junkie. And every week, I'm always looking for new music. Mm-hmm. Right now, it really leans heavily towards K-pop because I'm really into girl group K-pop. I'm kind of an unlikely fan of girl group K-pop, but I think that's some of the best pop music on the planet right now because that's really where most of the talent is. That's where all the money is. Korea, I got to say, Korea treats pop music like an Olympic sport.
Okay.
It's a completely different thing there than it is everywhere else on the globe, I think.
Okay.
Right? Like the Russians have ballet and, you know, they're training up thousands of kids, and then out of those thousands, they pick hundreds, and out of those hundreds, they pick dozens, and out of those dozens, they form groups.
No, so you're saying it's high quality music?
Very high quality.
Is it also the look and the presentation of the artists?
Correct.
Also
correct. So it's the choreography and the styling. I mean that all ties into the art form.
Yeah.
Even the stage sets. You know, if I mean, you really should check it out sometime.
I'm definitely going to check it out. Where would I go to like learn about this?
You just start looking at the groups. You know, find a group that you like the sound of. Since I'm really into the girl groups, so Aespa, Le Sserafim. There's so many. I don't know where to begin. VVZ.
And are they globally popular? And are they popular with a particular demographic, like young girls, young boys?
Yep. Yep. So there's definitely core demographics in Korea and in Asia in general, you know, around the area. Some of the groups have gone big. Like I'm sure everybody's heard of Blackpink.
I have not.
You have not? Well, they were one of the first big girl groups to really break out on the world scene. But several have made it onto the world charts. But what they're doing there is completely different than pop music everywhere else. They start with regional competitions, and a competition involves singing and dancing and styling, and it's always on like a open stage.
So you're saying that all of these pop stars all come through this competition?
So there's sort of, like this system of competitions. Well, not all of them, but most of them come through this system of competitions.
Interesting.
Right? So there's like regional and stuff like that. And then eventually you end up on these live television shows, which is like kind of like The Voice, but like times a thousand. So imagine The Voice if it were like, you know, if there was a gigantic budget and they could do these elaborate stages and... You know, even like the cameras are programmed to the choreography, and it's like drinking from a fire hose watching this stuff.
And you watch this stuff on YouTube?
I watch it on YouTube, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to have to check it out.
Yeah, K-pop music is super fun.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back to the radio station, because I know
I got off.
Yeah, that's okay. No, that's totally cool. You gave me a tour. yes. of the radio station. And that was a really interesting experience. I don't think I've ever been to a radio I don't believe I've ever been to a radio station.
It was fun, right?
Yeah, it was super cool. And I know you were talking about, you know, encouraging me to have a show, and you can play records. And
you can do whatever you want. It's community radio, so anybody can get a show who lives in the listening area, which is a pretty broad area. The listening area is roughly from Windsor down to Brattleboro in the Connecticut River Valley. We can be heard in Ludlow on Okemo Mountain. We can be heard on Stratton, on Bromley. Anybody can become a member and get their own show.
Okay.
Most shows are between 1 and 3 hours, and you can pretty much do whatever you want. If you want to, if you got some kind of music that you like to listen to that you want to share with the world. My first show was actually a live music performance show that I did with my buddy Jeff as a band. And we played synthesizer music because we were, you know, we had discovered synthesizers kind of by accident. You know, I bought this junky one at a yard sale, and we were just hanging out, you know, imbibing and being silly, and started playing stuff on the synthesizer. And he was like, oh, that's fun. So he got one, and then we started playing them together. And eventually that turned into 4 synthesizers and then 8 synthesizers and then 12 synthesizers. And then all of a sudden we're like making music, and we're thinking about getting gigs, but nobody wants, you know, a couple hours of improvisational synthesizer music. You know, that's a hard gig to get around here.
Yeah, I can see that.
And at the same time, I just started volunteering at Stage 33 Live, which is in the same building as the radio station over at 33 Bridge Street. We hope you visit. If someone's in the radio station, I'm sure they give you a tour. And during the Stage 33 Live shows, we can too. But anyways, I was volunteering there, and I, you know, saw the radio station. I said, you know what? We'll make our own gig. We'll just have a show, and we'll play our music on the show. So that's what we did. We started just with an hour improvisational set, just like playing whatever happened to happen. And we take a little break and say some PSAs and maybe play a recording and then close the show with another half-hour set.
Now, you can be any age to have a radio show?
You can. If you're a minor, you need to be accompanied by an adult at all times. But if you're in high school or something and you want to check it out, you can certainly get a show.
This sounds like an incredible opportunity, a creative opportunity for a young person.
Yeah, and I can't stress how much fun it is, too.
I feel like I'm just shocked when I talked to you about this and we got the tour. Yeah. I assumed young people were all had shows. I feel like that would be something that a high school student would completely do.
Yep.
And I think it would be a great learning experience, just the technology,
yep.
the creative process.
Yeah, and we'll train you all up.
The ability that you mentioned that you can play any record you want, you just have to log it.
Yep.
But you can, you know.
You got to be careful with the swears. You can't let the swears go over the air. That's the only caveat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you can, you know, play music and comment on it. Yep. And I'm considering it, you know, you and I have talked about it. We've talked about putting this podcast on the radio station.
I totally think you should.
And then I have another podcast that I'm working on that's completely unrelated. It's around cooking that's in development.
Which would also make great radio.
So maybe I'll do that on the radio because that's going to be audio only.
Yeah, it's not,
great radio. There's no video component to it.
Now, he's worried he won't be able to find enough people cooking, but I think he's wrong. I think you can find plenty of people around here who want to talk about cooking.
I guess I just don't know.
Yeah.
Because the thing about cooking is, this podcast is about people's, usually what they do for work or something they do as a creative outlet.
Yeah.
So that's a different conversation than doing something very intimate, cooking at home.
Well, it's also very creative.
It is creative, but it's also very intimate. So I didn't know, I don't know how comfortable people would be about answering questions.
I think most people would be perfectly happy to talk about that.
Well, they are, because I've done five of these test interviews.
I know, I get excited whenever people start talking about, because I definitely have some cooking opinions. You know, I think you've heard a few of mine already.
Yeah, absolutely. The setup was so nice, and working with you, you were so positive and supportive.
I'm really excited about community radio.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I mean, it's the voice of the people. I mean, anybody can talk about what they want to talk about there, and it's a resource for the community. It's not just a club where people play records. It's you know, it's a place where people can go and be creative and express themselves and talk about the things they want to talk about and, you know, discuss the things that are important to them, you know?
Yeah. One of the things that I mentioned early on in this episode was that you have a love for live sound, yes, versus like studio sound. And I have to tell you, I am much more of a recorded sound person. Like, I don't really go to concerts. Yep. I generally don't go to live music because I guess it's the way I was raised, listening to records,
right,
that I'm used to this, yep, like pristine, yep, situation, like, as opposed to the live stuff. Yep. So that's kind of interesting that you tell me about that.
I think it's, you know, it's a couple of things. I mean, I really love, you know, studio work and studio albums and like Steely Dan and like, there's so many things that you can do in a recording studio that you could never do live.
Yeah.
But there's something really magical about a live performance,
okay,
that you really can't get in a studio, or maybe just very rarely get in a studio. It's always going to be a different beast than, you know, the song you play in the studio is always going to be different than the song you play live in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it sounds almost exactly the same, it's going to feel different. It's going to have different inflection and be more exciting in a lot of ways, I think. But it's also the technical challenges of trying to record live sound.
Okay.
I know I've met several studio guys who were just like, I can't do live sound. I can't, because everything's a compromise. It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be everything that you want it to be. And you always have to sort of pick and choose your battles and try to just get the best result you can from the available material.
So I'm curious, if you are recording a situation where it's like instruments, like guitars,
yep,
and maybe a drum set and a vocalist,
yep,
do you record everything from the room, microphones that are picturing the room, or are you actually picking it up from the room plus you pull sound from the instruments directly?
So it's mostly close miking, because one of the challenges of recording live sound is the bleed over from the stage sound. So the other instruments on stage are usually pretty loud, and a lot of times that can sort of interfere with what you're getting as a signal into this one source. In a studio, everybody works very hard to separate all the sounds. They put the vocalist in the vocal booth. They put the drum guy behind plexiglass. They put the keyboard guy way over here in the corner so that when you listen back to the tracks, it's nothing but keyboard. It's nothing but drums. It's nothing but fiddle. It's nothing but guitar. But in a live setting, that's almost impossible to achieve.
Okay.
Because the sound levels on stage are loud enough so that you're going to get a lot of bleed into your microphones and stuff like that.
So there is a microphone for each guitar?
So usually for a guitar, you would have a microphone on the cabinet, really close.
What's that mean?
So the guitar cabinet is the guitar amplifier where the speaker is.
Okay.
So you'd have a microphone close to the speaker. Sometimes,
right. Okay.
Right. If you got a big budget, sometimes you have another microphone just a couple feet away from the speaker. And then you would also have a direct output from the amplifier itself, or from the direct from the guitar pedals, or something like that. So you would have at least three sources if you could manage all the.
That's a lot of. That seems like a lot of adjusting.
So it gives you options, is what it does. So the direct output can give you a clean signal, but the clean signal doesn't sound as good as the speaker, because the speaker actually creates imperfections that sound good.
Right.
And it also creates a little bit of compression. When you've got a close mic up to a speaker. And then the microphone that's a couple of feet away, that gives you your air and your ambience and helps sort of make it sound more natural. So you blend these three signals together and you get something that sounds like a live performance.
You record all of these different sources,
yeah,
and then later on you mix them all together.
Correct.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And in a live situation, one of your biggest limitations is time. And no matter how early you show up to start setting up, you're going to run out of time eventually.
Right.
And if things start going wrong,
right,
and you run out of time, you just got to improvise and do your best to mitigate the damage.
I can't imagine the panic stories that you must have where you have people you know, people coming to see a band and you have technical failures
and they can happen last minute.
Because we had something happen at Main Street Arts. I don't remember how it was resolved, but I remember you like stomping around with a cord and like we didn't have the right cord or the cord didn't work or something was dead. And I'm thinking, I'm not really sure what to tell him. But
That's right. I try not to panic anymore. And people, you know, bands appreciate it when you don't panic because, you know, there's the answer for it and it's not the end of the world.
There's usually a workaround for most things.
The stage box failed. The stage box failed at Main Street Arts. That's what it was. It was the, there's a box that you talk to digitally and it just wouldn't turn on.
Anymore. Oh, that's right.
Yep.
That's right.
So we had no way to connect the stage to the mixer, but luckily someone had the foresight to get an old analog snake that we connected to use to
be able
to.
Of course they did, because it's Main Street Arts. And we're able to do things like that.
So we figured it out. We got it done, and we're all ready for showtime.
All right, good. Now, are you going to be part of the next open mic?
So, yes, I volunteer at Main Street Arts to do sound there as well. So that's my second live sound volunteer.
All right. Now, venue. That is the fourth Friday of the month. I don't want to be giving the wrong date out.
I'd have to look at my phone.
So we'll look it up, but it's at Main Street Arts, and I'll put it in the show notes. But we've had two of them.
Very popular.
And they were super popular.
Full house, it's great to see.
We had a almost full house the first time, and then there was all this buzz around the village about it. And people were asking me, like, how early do I need to get there to sign up to make sure that I can
o'clock.
Perform?
Yeah, you got
to
get there
well,
at 6.
Well, 6:30 is officially the time. And then the second one was even more popular. And the thing that I loved about it is it was extremely diverse.
Yes.
Like, we had a 7-year-old comedian.
Yeah.
We had...
It was adorable, yeah.
Yeah, we had, you know, your traditional folk singer, songwriter.
And I got to say, the music was very high quality.
It was really good.
Even the guy that hadn't played in front of an audience before did just fine.
Robert was fantastic.
He was, yeah.
Robert, yeah.
He did just fine.
And then we also had a storyteller.
Yes, Mary. Which was fun. Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, she was fun.
Yeah. So, people who are near Saxons River, Vermont that are listening to this, you definitely got to check it out.
Main Street Arts.
And go to mainstreetarts.org. I'll put a link in the show notes. Well, Evan, thank you so much for hanging out with me.
It's been my pleasure.
This was great.
Yeah.
It was great getting to know you. And maybe, we're certainly going to be working together in the future at different things. But maybe we'll see what happens with me doing something.
We'll see you on the radio.
On the radio.
Yeah.
All right.
My name is Ricky McGeckran, and you have been listening to Eager to Know, the podcast. If you haven't already, please go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Eager to Know podcast.